This is WCNO, listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is My God, Part 2. My text is Psalms 95:3, which states, For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. God is to be praised because he is a great God and sovereign Lord of all. He is great and therefore greatly to be praised. He is infinite and great and has all perfection in himself. He has great power. He is a great king above all gods, above all considered gods, all principal officials to whom he said, Ye are gods, the man. He manages them all and serves his own purposes by them. And to him, they are all accounted. To him, above all counterfeit gods, all pretenders, all those that take possession by force, he can do that which none of them can do. He can and will starve and eliminate them all. He has great possessions. His lower world is here particularly specified. We think of those great men who have great territories, which they call their own against all the world, which yet are a very inconsiderate part of the universe. How great then is that God, whose the whole earth is, and the fullness thereof? Not only under those feet it is, as he has an indisputable dominion over all the creatures and the true nature in them, but in whose hand it is, and he has the actual directing and disposing of all, even the deep places of the earth, which are out of our sight, subterraneous springs and mines, are in his hand, and the height of the hills, which are out of our reach. Whatever grows or feeds upon them is his also. This may be taken figuratively. The meanest of the children of men, who are as the low places of the earth, are not beneath his surveillance. And the greatest, who are as the strength of the hills, are not above his control. Whatever strength is in any creature, it is derived from God and employed for him. The sea is his and all that is in it. The waves fulfill his word. It is his, for he made it, gathered its waters and fixed its shores. The dry land, though given to the children of men, is his too, for he still reserved the property to himself. It is his, for his hands formed it, when his word made the dry land appear. His being the creator of all makes him, without dispute, the owner of all. This being a gospel psalms, we may very well suppose that it is the Lord Jesus whom we are here taught to praise. He is a great God, The mighty God is one of his titles, and God over all, blessed forevermore. As mediator, he is the great king above all gods. By him kings reign, and angels, principalities, and powers are subject to him. By him, as the eternal word, all things were made. And it was fit he should be the restorer and reconciler of all who all things are delivered. Who was the creator to all. To him all power is given both in heaven and in earth. And into his hand all things are delivered. It is he that sets one foot on the sea and the other on the earth, and sovereign Lord of both. And therefore, to him, we must sing our songs of praise, and before him, we must worship and bow down. Because he is our God, he not only has a dominion over us, as he has over all the creatures, but stands in special relation to us. He is our God, and therefore it is expected we should praise him. Who will if we do not? What else did he make us for? But that we should be to him for a name and a praise. He is our creator and the author of our being. We must kneel before the Lord, our maker. Idolaters kneel before gods, which they themselves made. We kneel before a God who made us and all the world, and who is therefore our rightful owner. For his we are, and not our own. He is our Savior and the author of our blessedness. He is here called the Rock of Salvation. Not only the founder, but the very foundation of that work of wonder on whom it is built. That rock is Christ. To him, therefore, we must sing our songs of praises. To him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. We are therefore his under all possible obligations. We are his people. We are the people of his pasture. And the sheep of his hand. All the children of men are so. They are fed and led by his providence, which cares for them and conducts them as the shepherd the sheep. We must praise him, not only because he made us, but because he preserves and maintains us, and our breath and ways are in his hand. All the church's children are in a special manner so. Israel are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And therefore, he demands their tribute in a special manner. The gospel church is his flock. Christ is the great and good shepherd of it. We as Christians are led by his hand into the green pastures. By him, we are protected and well provided for. To his honor and service, we are entirely devoted as a peculiar people, and therefore to him we must be glory in the churches throughout all ages. God is described as created everything on earth. Everything is under his control, including the hills and the sea. God created the land. He is described as our maker. After knowing who God is, the psalmist encouraged others to worship God. We, his people, must pay attention to his voice. Since worship includes the priest reading and expounding the scripture, the worshipers will hear his voice. And in the rest of the psalm, the congregation reminds itself that they must take it to heart, believing and obeying their great king. The psalmist is basically saying, turn to God. Do not be like Israel. Israel had a chance to go to the promised land, but they rebelled against God. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Those that rebelled against God died in the wilderness. God always offers life and the best choices. Today we can follow God or die in our sins. Salvation is available right now. If you do not accept God, you could die in your sins. There is life in following God. He is the source of our joy. The psalmist accepted God and found joy in songs by just thinking about the God he is serving. He watches over me. He guides me along life's way. He gives me peace. He gives me joy. He gives me love. I am going to serve him. He gives me comfort when I am down and out. He revives my spirit. He lifts my heavy burdens. He picks me up and gives me a new start. He is my friend when I am lonely. He is good to me. I get happy when I think of the goodness of God and what he has done for me. He loves me in spite of my ways. He is my God. Why not make him your God? Jesus died a painful death on the cross at Calvary so that our sins may be forgiven and we can have eternal life. Therefore, accept him as your Lord and Savior and live for him. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is the life of peace. In Perth, Australia, there's a place called the Shalom House, where men struggling with addictions go to find help. At Shalom House, they'll meet caring staff members who introduce them to God's Shalom, Hebrew for peace. Lives crushed under the weight of addictions to drugs, alcohol, gambling, and other destructive behaviors are being transformed by the love of God. Central to this transformation is the message of the cross. The broken people of Shalom House discover that through the resurrection of Jesus, they can find their own lives resurrected. In Christ, we gain true peace and healing. Peace isn't merely the absence of conflict, it's the presence of God's wholeness. All of us need this Shalom, and it's only found in Christ and his Spirit. This is why Paul pointed the Galatians to the Spirit's transformational work. As the Holy Spirit operates in our lives, he generates his fruit that includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He gives us that vital element of true, enduring peace. Now, peace does not mean that you won't have a problem. Peace means your problems won't have you. Trust God. He's got it. As the Spirit enables us to live in God's Shalom, we learn to bring our needs and concerns to our Heavenly Father. This, in turn, brings us the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. The peace that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. In Christ's Spirit, our hearts experience true shalom. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey.